So again, welcome everyone and good evening. We will start like yesterday with a short mindful breathing exercise followed by general good intentions before we start the discussions. If possible, keep your back straight. And let go of any tensions or stiffness in your body and mind. Just try to relax. Feel the weight of your body on cushions or the chair. As you inhale, exhale naturally, normally. Try to watch it mindfully and be aware or have the awareness of that. Once your mind is settled down in moment present, then we can try to reflect, contemplate as long as we have samsaric birth, no matter what we do. We cannot escape sickness, aging, and death. And all the sufferings that comes with that sickness, aging, and death. And other sufferings. And the only way to stop such samsaric birth is by stopping creating cause and conditions that lead to such samsaric birth. That means we need to stop creating projecting or throwing karma, then to stop creating such karma, we have to stop the ignorance that is the motivator of such actions. And we are the not only one, all sentient beings who are in samsara also experience and go through the same suffering and pain. Therefore, in order to free oneself and all sentient beings from this endless pain and sufferings, and to achieve lasting true happiness, I must destroy this fundamental ignorance. To destroy that, I must cultivate the wisdom, realizing the ultimate reality. In order to cultivate that wisdom, I must continue to reflect, contemplate, meditate correctly, continuously. And for that, we need to be reminded of those practices, continue to study. That's the reason I'm going to listen. Not only listen, whatever I find beneficial, I will try to integrate as much as possible in my everyday life. May all of us coming here together to listen, to engage in discussions, reflection, contemplations. May all of this become cause and conditions to free oneself and all sentient beings from the samsara and all the suffering of the samsara permanently. May they all become cause and conditions to achieve the ultimate happiness of fully awakened state, so that we can fulfill the highest purpose of oneself and all sentient beings. Okay, then refuge in Bodhicitta. I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By thy merits I create through listening to the Dharma. May I become a Buddha in order to benefit all sentient beings. Sangye Chodan Sogye Chonan Ma Chancho Padu Dhani Kasoshi Vaghe Chodze Gibbe Sonam Ge Pramad Benje Sangye Dupa Asho Sangye Chodan Sogye Chonan Ma Chancho Padu Dhani Kasoshi Vaghe Chodze Gibbe Sonam Ge So, in relation to the dependent arising, and within that, inner depending on arisings. So we just start discussing on that, of the 12 depending on arising, 12 dependent link. And yesterday, we started about discussing how, starting with the ignorance, how it led to samsara rebirth, and with the samsara rebirth, then all the suffering in the samsara. And the way to end and cessation from such suffering of the samsara is by stopping the such samsara birth, and to stop the samsara birth, then we have to stop the very root of all this samsara birth, the ignorance. Because that ignorance is the very root of all other links. All other links start from there. So yesterday we talked about that ignorance, you know, and within that ignorance, we talk about the ignorance of law of cause and effect of the karma, and the ignorance of the ultimate reality. And among those two, then, you know, the ignorance of ultimate reality is the very root of all the delusions and all the links. So as we discussed yesterday, you know, due to ignorance of law of cause and effect, karma, you know, then we engage into unwholesome actions, you know. Through such unwholesome actions, then we have, you know, lower rebirth within the samsara, and then we experience all the suffering of the lower rebirth. On the other hand, due to the ignorance of that ultimate reality, you know, then we engage into wholesome actions, virtuous actions, but still that virtuous actions, wholesome action is still contaminated because it's still motivated by that ignorance. And because of that, you know, still we are not free from samsara, it still it leads us to a better rebirth within the samsara and better experience within the samsara, but still not freedom from the samsara. And therefore, as you are in samsara, then you are not free from the sufferings. So, yeah, so we discussed a little bit, and maybe I might go more on that if we have more time later, you know. And then next link, so that ignorance in the wheel of life, you know, then it is shown a blind persons, you know, and blind persons not knowing, you know, where to go, not knowing which direction to go, not knowing which path, you know, with that blind. And similarly, that is the ignorance. Due to that ignorance, not being able to find, and not being able to find and walk on the path to liberations, you know, not being able to walk on the path to liberation, the path as freedom from the samsara. And one is unable to, not being able to see the path, not able to walk to the path, freedom from samsara to the liberation, because of that ignorance, being blinded by that ignorance, not being able to see the proper right path due to the ignorance. So due to the ignorance, then it leads to the next link, the karmic formations or compulsional karma. So due to arising of the ignorance, you know, then, you know, it gives rise to one of other affective emotions, you know, whether it is attachment, whether it is aversions or anger, whether it's jealousy, pride, whatever one of those afflictive emotions, you know. And then, you know, with one of arising one of those afflictive emotions, Then we engage into actions through any of three doors. By engaging in such actions, you know, then we create karmic seeds or the potential to produce, you know, samsaric birth or rebirth. So that, second link, karmic formations, you know, is the link that has been motivated or induced by the first link, the ignorance, and which has the potential to produce samsara rebirth. And such karma, such karmic formation, the second link, then you know, it has to be complete karma. And complete karma with four conditions. Four conditions, the objects, you know, the intentions, the act, and the completions. When karma, whether it is a contaminated positive karma or whether it is a negative karma, when those actions or karma has all these four conditions completed, then it becomes complete karma. And when it is complete karma, then it produces ripening result of high, you know, samsara rebirth. But when karma is not, your actions is not completed with all four conditions, sometimes only three conditions, sometimes there is only two conditions, sometimes there is only one condition, then it is not complete karma. If it is not complete karma, then it cannot produce such samsaric rebirth. Then it can become, it cannot project or produce samsaric rebirth. You know, it cannot throw samsaric rebirth. You know, they can act as a completing karma. You know, within the samsaric rebirth, you know, you can have different experience, you know, whether in higher rebirth or lower rebirth, which are result of the completion karma. There is throwing karma, completion karma. And this second link we are talking about is that particular karmic formations that has that potential to produce that karmic rebirth. So we are talking about more specific, you know, karma, not talking about all the karma, okay? When you talk about the second link as a karmic formations, we are talking a more very specific karmic. The moment, you know, we engage. So in terms of the four conditions, you know, let's take an example of negative karma, such as taking the life of others. The object is that the being is other than you, other than yourself or separate from you, objects. when it is not that, then it doesn't become complete because the object is not there. The object in this case, taking life, others has to be a life other than your own life, someone's life, in terms of objects. Then intentions, you know, intention to kill, take the life. If you kill by accident, then again the intention is not there. Then again it cannot be a complete karma. Even you took someone's life, but the intention was not there to take life. The act of taking the life, of course, can be different, you know, with the weapons, poisonings, in whatever way you take the lives, whether you take life yourself or you order someone to take. That's the act. And the completions is, you know, the others dies before you. If you die before the others, you don't feel, you know, kind of satisfied joy of having completed your job. You know, when someone died, you had the intention to take someone's life, and you are able to take someone's life, and when that person die, there's sense of, you know, joy, feeling good about it. But instead, if you really regret sincerely, instead of feeling good about it, but you sincerely regret it, then again, you know, it might not complete. But generally, the completion in terms of taking life is that someone's, the person's, or the other beings die before you. So, you know, so that is the four conditions, you know, and every, whether it's positive karma or negative karma, when all the four conditions are there, when all four conditions come together, then it becomes complete karma. Otherwise, it doesn't become complete karma, both positive and negative. And that is when it's complete karma, then it has that potential to produce the samsara rebirth. If the four conditions are not there, then it doesn't have the same potential to produce the samsara rebirth. It has the potential to produce, you know, the completions, karma, you know, to have a more shortened life instead of a long life because of the result of such actions, you know, within the life. Or maybe, you know, it can cause to get a harm from others, different form of harm, sometimes taking life, sometimes injuring yourself and so forth, you know. So it can manifest in those, but not as a throwing karma of producing a samsara rebirth. So second link is this complete karma, okay? And especially that complete karma, the moment that it create that complete karma. Karma, you know, can be understood, you know, there is a throwing karma or projecting karma. The throwing karma, projecting karma is, you know, to project or to throw some sort of rebirth. And completion karma is to be able to produce different experiences within that life. You know, throwing karma throw you in particular rebirth, and then within that particular rebirth, then we can have different experience of different experiences, and that is due to our completion karma. Even though we all have been thrown into same throwing karma as a, let's say, human rebirth within the samsara, but we all experience different level, you know. Some has little better health than others, relatively. Even though we all go through some level of sickness, but some people have much more challenge with their health than other people. Some have less, they still have challenge, but less relatively, you know. Some struggles more with the finance situation than others. Some has better relationship and some other struggles with the relationship and so forth. So they are different within the, that is different. And so those are result of the completion karmas, you know. Completion karma make more particular experience of individual. The throwing karma is more kind of same karma. Either all the human beings in the samsara are result of same throwing karma to produce a human rebirth with the samsara, or animal rebirth, or whatever other rebirth. And then within that particular rebirth, then there is individual different experiences, which is due to different collective, completion karma. Also there is understanding of individual karma, collective karma. Within the collective karma, there can be many different levels. The collective karma of the family, the collective karma of the neighborhood, the collective karma of the state, the collective karma of the country, the collective karma of the world that we live in. So again, that collective karma can have many different levels. And collective karma are like, you know, when collectively, when two persons make a certain decisions and to engage in certain actions, positively or negatively, together, then they create collective karma of two persons. When that is involved with the five people, then collective karma of five people. When it is involved 100 people, then it is collective 100 people. Thousand, 100,000, million, billions. When millions and billions get involved together to engage in certain actions, you know. Let's say example of we all 100 or billions of people decided to go for war, that create collective karma. Or billion people collectively stop the war for peace, they create that collective karma. Why do we create that collective karma? Because we all kind of decided together and to engage in certain actions, good or bad. At the same time, you know, there can be different level, even though whether we are against or for, such as war, so forth, killing, not killings. But again, different people might have different level of intention, different level of delusions, you know. And according to that, again, they also create individual karma. Collective and individual karma, because even though we all agree for something, good or bad, but again, there could be very different level of, you know, delusions, you know, different state of intentions, you know, different level of intention. So according to that, then again, you know, also it also creates individualized one. So then as a result, we experience collectively, you know, all, whether in a negative way or positive way, while everyone experience collectively as a positive or negative, but again, each of us can experience different level. Do you get it? Even in when everyone experiences good, but some are experiencing much better than others. When we experience collectively negative, but some others are experiencing much more worse and pain than others. While collectively we all are experiencing pain, and that is of individuals. So again, you know, collectively and individually, how we create and also how we experience. Also, we have to understand karma is not kind of fixed. And fix and decided or predetermined karma is constantly, you know, can be constantly changed. So by changing our karma through our actions, through our choices, decisions, actions, then we can change our experiences as well. So again, what kind of experience that we have in the futures, not only about the future life, but even what kind of experience we will have in our later life, it very much depends on our attitude, our state of mind, our actions, our choices, choices that we make, and so forth, and which are in within our hand to change, not to change. So then there is a, you know, so especially the link that we are talking about, the second link of the karmic formation, we are talking about that, the complete karma, the throwing karma or projecting karma that has been creating that moment, motivated by that ignorance. And with such karma, then there are three different karma, you know, materialist, non-materialist, and inflexible karma. Non-virtuous or non-materialist karma produce the rebirth in lower realms, you know, and then, you know, meritorious or the virtuous karma contaminate that karma, produce high rebirth in samsara, such as human rebirth, you know, desire for realms, so forth. And then immovable or influential karma then create, you know, high rebirth within the form and formless god realms. So then due to that karmic formation, link of karmic formation, the next, so in the 12, the wheel of life, then the karma is drawn, the second karmic formation drawn with a potter, making a pottery. You know, that the pottery is making pottery with all different size, different shapes, all of that, you know, different size, different shape for different purpose, for different things. In the same way, you know, different type of karma, you know, that will create different type of karma, you know. Just like different shape, different size, different type of karma. You know, we create karma to be, sometimes karma to take a rebirth in the lower rebirth, sometimes in the higher rebirth, all kind of that, as well as, you know, throwing karma, completion karma, and so forth. And then the third one, consciousness. The link of the consciousness. Of course, when you talk about consciousness, then, you know, there are sensory consciousness, mental consciousness. You know, five sense consciousness and mental consciousness. And within the mental consciousness, then, you know, primary consciousness, mental, should one mental factors and all of that. And consciousness is the mind, or the consciousness is, you know, non-physical, non-matter, non-physical, that is, you know, that has the qualities of clarity and knowing, or the awareness, you know. And so, consciousness in general. But when we talk about this specific consciousness, the link, referring to the third link, we are talking about very specific consciousness at a very specific moment. So not all the consciousness are the third link that we are referring here. Not all the consciousness, nor all the moment of consciousness are the third link. So third link is due to the ignorance, then you create complete karma, okay? And after creating that complete karma, then immediately that moment, that imprint of that karma, or the potential of that karma, is left within the mental consciousness. That moment of mental consciousness, that very moment of mental consciousness, that very moment of mental consciousness that carry that karmic seed in that moment is the third link. So, it, of course, it always has to be mental consciousness, the sense consciousness cannot carry the karmic seed. And so that this third link, the consciousness, is that moment of consciousness that the karmic seed, that the karma that has been created in that moment and planted or imprint, planted the seed in that consciousness, or left an imprint in that consciousness. In that moment of consciousness, and that consciousness, the continuity of that consciousness will carry that karmic seed until it's arriving, until the effect is arriving, or unless it's destroyed by some other form, you know, in terms of negative karma, it can be the karmic potential or seed or imprint can be destroyed through purifications, practices, or in terms of positive karma, sometimes it can be destroyed by anger and wrong view and so forth. If it is not being destroyed by other forces, then the karmic seed will, the consciousness, the continuity of that consciousness will carry that karmic seed until it's ripened when coming together other conditions. So it is called causal consciousness. There are two consciousness that we will see. Ten, becoming, is also consciousness. And that would be more kind of resultant consciousness. And this is causal consciousness. So that is the third link, that moment of that consciousness. So again, not all the consciousness, all these 12 link, you know, each of those 12 link, trying to find the right English word. In Tibetan is Bunin Yamon Chok, you know, those links are part of the, you know, the samsaric side, you know, suffering and cause of sufferings side. And so therefore, you know, not all consciousness are that. The consciousness of Aha are not those links. The consciousness of higher level of the Bodhisattvas are not that link. The consciousness of Buddha is not that link. And even within the consciousness of ours, all the moment of the consciousness of being in samsara also are not that link. That link is that particular moment. Are we clear? Yeah? That particular moment of that mental consciousness on that which karmic seed has been planted in that at that moment. So then, you know, the karmic seed or the potential is kind of planted within the consciousness. And that continued with that consciousness will carry that seed. Then at the time of death, you know, that karmic seed will be activated. If that karmic seed is not activated, then of course it cannot produce the result. Just like a seed in the garden that never gets water, moisture. Even there is a seed, but if it doesn't get other conditions, such as moisture and other conditions, it will never produce the plant. Seed is important, but also it needs many other conditions. And we spoke about as today, the Buddha explained about six elements, the conditions for the plant. The earth element, the heat element, the water element, the air element, you know, space elements, and then time elements. In the same way, also in the internal world, there's inner seed, karmic seed, that has been planted in the within the mental consciousness. But for that karmic seed to ripen, that so in this case, you know, the complete karmic seed, the throwing karmic seed or producing karmic seed, in order to that to produce the result, the samsaric rebirth, then it requires other conditions to activate it. So the conditions that activate that karmic seed is then craving and the grasping. So at the time of death, you know, then the karmic seed, this particular karmic seed is being activated by the moisture of craving and grasping. So without that craving and grasping, this karmic seed cannot produce the result samsara rebirth. So what it also shows us is, even though we might be carrying within our mental consciousness billions of karmic seeds to produce, you know, different samsaric rebirth, but if we are able to stop, if we are able to overcome the craving and grasping, then all these karmic seeds will be a seed that never get water. Therefore, again, we can end the samsara rebirth. We can end the samsara rebirth by not giving the moisture for that karmic seed to produce any karmic samsara rebirth, because in order to produce samsara rebirth, the seed need to be activated by craving and grasping. I think that also, you know, give us more hope. You know, even you are unable to purify all these karmic seeds, you don't have to worry about it if you can overcome your craving and grasping. Through our practice, meditations, you know, through practice and meditation, if we are able to eliminate the craving and grasping, if there is no more craving and grasping, you don't have to worry about all different karmic seeds that is there. They all become useless. That cannot produce any of the effect, the result. So again, it also emphasizes the importance of, you know, need to, the importance of overcoming and destroying or eliminating the craving and the grasping. And craving and grasping, of course, you know, when it comes to a higher rebirth, we can understand how craving and grasping could arise and activate. When it comes to lower rebirth, it seems like how would we crave, you know. But again, it is mentioned, you know, that when karmic potential seed arises, or, you know, to be born in one lower rebirth where there is extreme heat, you know, then at the time of death, you started to feel very cold and you crave for hot heat. And that can act as the activating craving to wrap in that karmic seed to be born in a place where there is extremely suffering of extreme heat. On the other hand, when at the time of death, when the karma to take a rebirth with the extreme cold manifesting and the craving can arise in that, you start to feel too hot and you crave for cold, you know, you crave for coolness, and that can be the activating craving factors in arising or activating that seed. But if we don't have any craving, you know, cold, hot, you know, for, you know, food, drink, or any other kind of craving, you know, if there's no more craving, there's no more grasping, then none of those karmic seeds can be activated. None of those karmic seeds to take a rebirth, then samsara, lower and higher rebirth, and then you end. The thing is, until we are able to cut the ignorance, you cannot cut the craving and grasping permanently, or the more subtle level. Through different practice meditations, we can reduce level of craving and grasping. Especially the gross level of craving and grasping. But more subtle level of craving and grasping will be there as long as there is ignorance. As long as there is ignorance, there will be still very subtle level of craving and grasping. And therefore, to get rid of not only the gross level of craving and grasping, even the more subtle level of craving and grasping, then need to get rid of the ignorance. Again, it always comes back to that, isn't it? It always comes back to that. Definitely, through different meditations and practice, you can reduce the level of craving and grasping. Even without, you know, having a direct realization emptiness. Even without having a direct realization emptiness, even without overcoming the ignorance, through different meditation practice, you can reduce the level of craving and grasping for sure. Through meditation, impermanent, death impermanent, through meditations on, you know, the nature of the suffering of the samsaras, through meditation on, you know, essenceless of the object of the attachments, you know, essenceless, meaningless, through meditating on, you know, unattractive quality of the object of the attachment, and so forth, you can reduce the level of craving and grasping to a certain level. But to destroy from very more subtle level, then one need to destroy the root of that the fundamental ignorance. And craving is, you know, the craving or attachments is one of the main cause of our suffering, main cause of problem in our life. In our life, you know, we go through so many fears, worry, anxieties. Most of them come from attachments. You know, we have so much fear about so many things in our life. We have so much fear about our loved ones, dear ones, and why we have so much fear, worry, because of attachments. We're attached to our good health, so we have a lot of fear about our health. We have a lot of attachments to our life, so we have a lot of fear of death. We don't want to lose, because we are very attached to that. You know? So we don't want to lose, and therefore there's a fear of death. Because of our, when we have a good relationship, we're attached to that relationship. And therefore we have fear of something going wrong in our relationship. And because we don't want to that, we don't want to lose that relationship. We don't want to lose that. And because, again, of attachment to that. You know, if there's something, you know, whether it's a job, whether it's shame, whether it's whatever there is, you know, something you are very attached to. And then again, you know, we have fear of losing all of them. The more attached you have, attachment you have, the more fear you have losing of them. And so, you know, we experience so much pain and suffering due to all kind of those fears, worries. It doesn't mean, you know, you shouldn't have concern about your health. You shouldn't have concern about all of that. You should be concerned, you should take care of them. But you can do that without attachments, and that is the key. Without attachment, you have less fear. Therefore, you suffer less. A lot of sufferings, you know, the conflict and problem that we see in the world is because of greediness, which is rooted in attachments. Due to greediness, you know, people exploit another beings, you know, take advantage of others, you know, harm and hurt others in order to get the objects of their attachment due to that greediness and not being satisfied and happy with what they have and wanting more and more and more. And so therefore, you know, and also attachment give rise to a lot of anger, frustrations, impatience, all those different other negative state of minds arises a lot of time because of attachments. Attachment to outcome, you know, attachment to certain outcome. Certain result. And when you are unable to achieve that, some not being able to achieve that kind of result, that kind of, you know, outcome, then we get frustrated, angry, upset. Sometimes with others, because we blame others for that. Sometimes with ourselves, because we blame ourselves for that. Sometimes, you know, we get upset, frustrated, and angry with the, you know, the system, whatever, you know, we blame for the cause of that. And, you know, again, and due to arising of such frustration, anger, impatience, upset, you know, again, we suffer so much. We suffer. And not only we suffer, in a lot of time we bring pain to others as well. So that's how we, and so it all comes from that, the attachments, the craving. So in the wheel of the life, there is a drawing or painting of someone drinking a wine. So it is saying, you know, someone who have problem with addictions, they drink little bit, they think, I will stop after I drink that. But once they drink, they cannot stop drinking. And they might think, I will drink just little bit, just one glass. But once they start in one glass, they cannot stop. So it never led to that state of being content and satisfied. You know, you feel like you need to drink more and more and more. Therefore, in some example in Buddhist teachings, you know, they give example of drinking a salted water to quench your thirsty. So you have sufferings, pain of thirsty, and in order to satisfy that thirsty, you drink salted water for a temporary, you feel good, but then it makes you wanting more. It makes you more thirsty. Again, you drink a little bit to fulfill that thirstiness, and again, that salted water gives you temporary relief for a few moments. Again, it feels like you more want. So basically, it can never satisfy. It never can satisfy your thirst by drinking salted water. In the same way, one cannot fulfill one's satisfactions by following the attachments. The attachment can never lead you where you feel totally content and satisfied. The goal keep on moving, you know, when you have attachments. I would be happy and satisfied if I reach here. The goal is here. The goalpost, not the goal, goalpost. Okay? You feel if I reach that goalpost, I will be happy, satisfied. I don't need more than that. I will be content. Once you reach that, the goalpost is further. Oh, I will be very happy, satisfied. I don't need anything more than that if I can reach that. And once you are there, again. And it keep the goalpost keep on going. We can see in our life, and we see in the most richest person in the world. You know, not being satisfied with being a millionaire. The goal is become billionaire. And become billionaire, not being happy and satisfied with being a billionaire. Feel like become need to be trillionaire. And because as long as we have that attachment or the craving, we can never reach a point where we feel I'm happy, satisfied. But when you give up, when you are able to let go of that attachment and craving, then you can be fully satisfied and content wherever you are now. You know, you can be fully happy, satisfied, content wherever you are now. So that sense of true satisfactions, joy, satisfaction, content, cannot be produced by external objects. It is something that need to come from within. You know, that is something that need to come from within, not from outside. If it come from outside, then we will see, you know, the people who have more, they will be more satisfied, they will be more happy, not necessarily. You know, sometimes you find some of the most happy people, most satisfied, happy people are those people in some of the remote area, village, where they have hardly anything, very little. You know, sometimes you find those people are the most happy people. And you find bigger cities where there is more or less happy people, more stressed people. Why is that? You know, in terms of external, there is more in the cities. people who live in cities, they are much more than people in those small, remote villages. So that is clear science. Sense of true satisfaction, joy, happiness doesn't come from outside. It is something that you come from within. And so as long as we try to achieve satisfaction by following the attachment or craving, then you know you are going to fail. We have failed so far, and still we hope that next one will be different experience. It's like trying to eat, you know, the chili, and you're burning and crying and all of that, and still you continue to, you know, eat it. And when asked why you are suffering so much, why? Because maybe I could find the one sweet one. Even though there is no sweet, all of them are as hot, coming from same, as hot everything, but always hope, maybe next one is the sweet one, not the hot one. You know, we have failed to find the sweet one so far, and I think still we are kind of trying to find the sweet one, which you will never be able to find. And so, that is about another example that you find in some of the other teachings about the attachment craving is, you know, it gives an example of, you know, honey on the blade. You know, honey on the blade, and when you try to lick the honey, there's a sweetness if you really like that honey sweetness. But then it will cut your tongue because it's the, what you call, what was the word I was using?
Sharpness.
Yeah. So that is the attachments give you at the very beginning sense of little bit of joyful satisfaction, joy, just little bit of that sweetness, but in the long term it harms you. In long term it leads you to more dissatisfaction, more discontentment, more unhappy mind. So that is the attachment or the craving. So when you talk about this particular link, the 8th link of craving and the 9th grasping, not all the craving are that link, okay? Not all grasping are that link. When we talk about this particular link, then we are talking about that particular craving and grasping at the time of death that is activating that karmic seed that was already been planted in the consciousness at the 3rd link. So we are talking, especially when we talk about this link, of course we talk about the general craving and grasping. But when you talk of a specifically link, then we are referring to a very specific moment of that craving and grasping. At the time of death, when due to that craving, that karmic seed has been activated, that moment of craving and that moment of grasping. Okay? Today I will. Some questions? Yes, please.
I can just wait for the microphone kicks in. Okay, Geshe, you mentioned about collective karma. So if it takes, say, a billion people to make collective karma. Can just a few people change that karma, or does it have to be a billion people that change it? Like, say, for instance, climate change, which is going to, you know, is the collective karma. Can a few people change it, or do all the billion have to have a go?
I do believe by changing, by certain individual who is a part of that collective karma, or beings who are part of that collective, by changing their karma, it can affect the collective karma to some degree. Because again, you know, it's interdependent, interconnected. You know, just like if you take examples of the families, you know, because of that connection, karmic connections, collectively, you know, when something bad happens to one family member, it affects everyone's. When something good happens, it affects everyone's. And when one karma of that person changes, not only it changes his or her experience, but it could change all the others who are related and interconnected that. And so in that way, I also believe that has similar effect on the collective karmas, because those billions people of collective karma, they are not isolated and independent, you know, they all are interconnected, interdependent, interrelated. And so therefore, you know, by changing one person's karma, that's part of that collective karma, you know, or, you know, 10, 20, hundreds, you know, it can have effect on the bigger collective karma, because it's part of that.
So Francesca from online, she asks, if in this lifetime you were doing lots of meditation and you got your craving and grasping and ignorance to here, but you don't completely cut it, in the next life, do you start from where you were at, or do you have to start over again?
You know, it depends, I think, on the practitioners. I think certain practitioners, when you reach certain point, then there's no going back, you start from there, you know. But certain practitioners who haven't reached that point, it's possible they can go back and restart. But even when they have to restart, it will be much easier because of familiarity, because of the imprint and everything. So even though you might have to start, but like it wouldn't be as difficult as like this time, because of all the practice, the familiarity, the imprint, and all of that. And just as, you know, as some of the masters, you know, and they say, you know, I think he's only the lamas mentions, you know, even as a young boy, you know, when he was studying Buddhist philosophy, you know, some of the very difficult points in those philosophy, or even some high geshes find very difficult to understand those difficult vital points, subtle differences and points. Even as a young child, he was able to understand it so easily. It was so easy for him, you know. So again, those are the imprint from the past, even if you study, you know, but your study becomes so not difficult, easy, and your meditation practice, whatever you do, become more easy, and you find less struggles, less difficult. But certain practitioners, you reach certain point and then there's no coming back. You go only from upwards, you know, you start from there. But for some beginners, it can be that we can go back. Not only the future life, even in this life it can happen, you know. If you stop practicing for a while, then I can to restart, it might be challenging. You know, but it's something you have been doing every day. It might you might find quite easy, something you are familiar and doesn't require so much. But then you stop doing for months or year, then to restart, you might have to put more effort, require more effort, and it might not be easy. You know, it almost feels like you are restarting from the very beginning. And it's not only with our mind, it's same with our physical, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're trying to keep yourself fit, you know, also the same things, you know. Okay, yeah. Yes, please. That will be the last questions for today.
Oh, thank you so much, Gashala. My question is, what if you want to become a bodhisattva? Is that, so if we have desires like that, would you need to keep equanimous with that desire? Or is it probably better to focus on purification and then just see where it flows?
Mm-hmm. No, I think if we have a desire to be a bodhisattva, it's a virtuous desire, you know. The desire, aspiration to become a bodhisattva, the desire, aspiration to be beneficial to others, the desire, aspiration to achieve fully enlightened state in order to be benefit to others, those are positive. And those are positive, and we should try to keep it alive, work with that, and try to keep such aspiration or desire, you know, alive, giving the fuel so that we don't lose that, and then continue to, you know, engage in a practice such as meditating and cultivating, you know, true love, compassion, bodhicitta mind as much as possible. And not only in meditations, also trying to bring those into practice in actions as much as possible. And while we continue to keep that aspiration alive through such, you know, by giving the fuel and meditation and practice. But of course, you know, you also try to combine the practice of purification and accumulate the merit to support that practice. You know, one unique of Tibetan Buddhism, which is based on Nalanda traditions, you know, which is rooted in the Nalanda traditions, is that, you know, when you try to meditate, whatever form of meditations, you know, whether it's analytical meditation, non-analytical meditations, whatever, you know, combining while you try to meditate or practice, but also combining this aspect of purification and accumulation merit. And if you put all these together, you will have better result from your practice meditations. So it is, the meditations is like the seed, okay? For the plant to grow, you need a seed, healthy good seed. So that is the meditation, whatever meditation you are doing. But in order that seek to produce the full potential plant that it has, you need to clear the obstacles, cleaning the your soil and so forth. Purification does that. Not only you need to clean your garden, the soil, you need to also gather the conducive conditions by providing the waters and heat and other conducive conditions. And that is the accumulation of merit. Does that accumulation of merit, it created the conducive conditions, purification and clearing the obstacles. And together with that meditations, then when all this come together, then you have better better result, you know. And so therefore, yeah.